We're continuing our journey through the narrative lectionary from a reading in Genesis chapter 15. Our passage today zooms in on the story from last week whereby we learned about God creating the first humans. This week focuses on a specific pair of people with whom God forges a relationship. A reading from Genesis 15 verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to them, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Here ends the reading. So last week, our passage ended on a cliffhanger. The first humans, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and vulnerability and shame and fear then entered the picture, separating them from each other and from God. And in the garden, then they hid from God. But because, like I said last week, because God is the main character of this origin story, in fact, the main character in all of the biblical story, the listeners are now asking this, what is God going to do? What is God going to do now? How is God going to restore what has been lost? Now let's remember from last week. Israel is looking backwards into their history from their current time and place. The people of ancient Israel, they've been forcefully removed and taken away into exile, into a foreign land, immersed into a place with different languages and customs and religious systems. And it's here where they begin to question God, where they begin to question their identity. Where is God? How will we preserve our identity and God's relationship with us? And so it's here where these stories are written down for the first time in the general form that we know as the Old Testament, or what I was trained in seminary to call the Hebrew Bible. And so it's through this lens of Israel's current despairing circumstances in which we read today's story of Abram and Sarai. You see, because since the garden, humanity's circumstances have not really improved. You may have seen the email that I sent out this week, kind of bridging the gap between the first creation story and now with Abram. Cain murders his brother Abel. Tribes begin warring against each other, taking people prisoner. God grieves. And then in an attempt to preserve this shred of goodness that existed in creation, he saves Noah and his family from the flood, which is sort of this cosmic reversal of creation, a sort of decreating. And then even when things settle down, Noah and his family prove that they are unable to prevent sin from taking root and again causing suffering and pain in the world. So now, generations later, our story zooms in on a particular lineage. God chooses Abram and Sarai to bring God's goodness and blessing to the world. You see, before our story began today, God tells Abram and Sarai to leave their homeland and to go to a land that God will show them. Because from them, God will create a great people. The story of Adam and Eve was the story of God creating humanity in love. The story of Abram and Sarai is about the people of Israel's love and relationship with God, their creator. It's about their relationship identity that is hinged on God's promises to them. So Abram and Sarai move to the land that God shows them. Abram sort of becomes this chieftain of a small tribe, and he has acquired a great deal of wealth. But by now it's been several years, several long years since God made that first command and promise. So now he and Sarai are advanced in age. And everything in their context of the story points to this promise not happening. In an ancient context, you see, progeny kept memory alive. It outlived you into the generations. So the tension in this story is the time delay. After all, in this story, if God's promise to Abram were to happen instantly, it wouldn't really make for a good story, right? So now the tension is the time delay. And Abram becomes very practical. He starts making plans for Eliezer to be his heir, as if this promise of God is not going to happen. So God comes to Abram. God comes to Abram. And for the first time in all of Scripture, God says, "Do not be afraid." This is the most repeated phrase in all of Scripture. And this is the first time that God says this. God will tell Moses, "Do not be afraid to go to Pharaoh." An angel will tell Mary, "Do not be afraid." Jesus will tell his disciples over and over again, "Do not be afraid." So God reiterates God's promise to Abraham. And this time he leads him outside and he directs his gaze to the stars. I don't know about you, but it's humbling to look up at a night sky full of stars, isn't it? Too many stars to count. Some bright, some faint, some twinkling. And it's here where Abram is full of awe. The kind of awe that comes from viewing the vastness of God's creation. And each of those stars represents a person, a descendant, a promise of God. And I wonder if it's in this moment when Abraham suddenly realizes that God's promise is bigger than anything he can wrap his head around. He doesn't get the details. He's not given the when and the how. But the one making the promise is the creator of these stars, the one who is faithful. And Abraham is changed. He's changed and transformed. Abram's trust in God's promise is reinvigorated. The Hebrew word for belief here, that's what Abraham does, is believe. The Hebrew word is ha'emin, and it's where we get the word amen from, which means let it be so. Let it be so. Like, do not be afraid, this is the first time that faith is mentioned in all of Scripture. Abraham places his trust in God's hands, and God recognizes it as righteousness. Now, in our culture, righteousness it's kind of a loaded word. It's a word that feels pious and related to high moral character, being someone without blemish, maybe someone that is seen as perfect. But the Hebrew word that's used here, tzedakah, is a term of relationship. Trusting God's word makes Adam in right relationship with God. Faith. This is the heart of this story. It's faith and belief. Words, I think when we hear them, we should think trust. This becomes the foundation for God's relationship with humanity. It becomes the foundation of ancient Israel's story as they await God to rescue and restore them once again in their current circumstances. It's the foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ. It's the foundation of the Lutheran confessions, that we are justified, i.e. made righteous, put in right relationship with God. We are justified by God's grace through faith. God's grace and unconditional love are not earned. They're not based on performance or piousness. They're based on faith. God calls you and I to believe and to trust. Jesus reiterates this again in John's gospel. A crowd asks him, what must they do to perform the works of God? And Jesus' response to them is to believe in me. That is the work that you and I are called to. To faith and belief and trust in our God. Now, I realize that this is easier said than done. There are seasons in life when it is difficult to trust God, especially when God seems absent or indifferent, or when our circumstances do not seem to be getting better. Abram is not exactly given clarity about when or the how. He isn't given any new information. The circumstances have not changed, except Abram's view of them has. You see, Abram has to be led outside of the tent, outside and beyond his place of comfort and safety to realize the enormity of God's promise that is signified by the billions of stars in the sky. And God doesn't utilize some shooting star or some astronomical phenomenon, right, to demonstrate God's power. No, God points Abram to the every night stars. The stars which are out every night and every day, even when we cannot see them. God points to something that's been there all along. God has been with Abram all along. God has blessed Abram all along. Sometimes we are so caught up in the world as we know it, the world with its possibilities and more so its limitations, what is possible and what is not possible, the daily demands that are put upon our lives, that we forget sometimes to go outside the tent and to look up. We forget to realize the ways that God shows up in the ordinary, everyday aspects of our lives. Perhaps God's work in the world is sometimes obscured by our desire for clarity and details. That's why I think some people turn to a prosperity gospel using this story of Abram. They turn God into a transactional God, whereby if we just believe hard enough, if we just give enough, if we pray enough, then God will reward us. But being a Christian is not a guarantee of a problem-free life. Rather, being a Christian is all about God's promise of grace and unconditional love through Christ Jesus. It's about a God who knows what suffering and hardship feel like. It's about a God who comes to us in those moments and promises to be present with us. God loves you, my dear friends. God loves you. God calls you to believe because God wishes to bless you with every good thing for the journey. God's love for you is seen in Jesus, who entered our world and died to redeem it. Jesus, Mary's son, is the line of Abraham, comes from the line of Abraham and Sarai. And you and I are also descendants in faith of Abraham. That's why you have a star that was handed out today. I'd like you to write your name on that star. And next week, we're going to do something with it. So I'll have you turn it into the offering plate. You and I, my friends, we are a part of God's still unfolding story in this time and place. Our trust in God looks a lot like what Jesus teaches us. That is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. to love your neighbor as God loves them. In this way, we experience love and we become love for others for the sake of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.